Ruth 3, starting at verse 6 to the end of the chapter. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly and covered his feet and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are the close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, and that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be, if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." The Redeemer says, "Do not fear. Do not fear." Fear can be a dreadful emotion. Fear of man. Fear of the unknown. Fear of hell. All of us know what fear is like. Everyone here knows what fear is like. Fear of evil on the horizon. Fear of impending pain. Fear of loss. Fear is accompanied by a desire to avoid or to escape. We all know what fear is like. We all know what it means to be anxious. We all know what it means to be apprehensive. We all know what it is to be afraid. We all know the feeling of the emotion of fear. In our text today, we see that the Redeemer Boaz will tell Ruth, "Do not fear. I will do for you all that you request." The Redeemer says, "Fear not, I will do all that you request." Ruth found favor. Ruth found grace. Ruth found love. Luke tells us, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Fear not, child of God, you have found favor with God." Genesis 15, verse 1 tells us to fear not. Genesis 15:1 says, After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Why, Lord? Why? I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. I am the Almighty speaking, Yahweh saying, fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. I am your more gain. I am the one that encompasses you about. I am the one that has you in the palm of my hand. Fear not, Abraham. Ruth, fear not. Child of God, fear not. In Exodus, God told Moses, told the people. In Exodus 14, verse 13, that they were not to fear because that God had them in his hands. Exodus 14, verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. That's why Boaz told Ruth, fear not, I will do all that you request of me. The Jews cried out to Yahweh for 400 years, deliver us from the oppressor. Yahweh tells them, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you. God is the actor. He is the active agent. We are the ones that are standing, watching God Almighty that says, fear not, he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, those enemies that you see today, you shall see them again no more forever. This is why Yahweh can say, do not fear. I will do all that you have requested of me. Ruth came to the Redeemer, and the Redeemer says, fear not. Jehoshaphat knew of this God. Turn to 2 Chronicles 20. This is why the Lord tells his people, fear not, for he is the one. He is the one that is in charge. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. Let me start at 15. And he said, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Fear not because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. This is what Boaz is telling Ruth. Fear not. I will do all that you have requested. Jehoshaphat confessed his impotence to the Lord. And the Lord says, fear not, the battle is not yours, but God's. Go down to verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, put your name in there. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Child of God, do not fear. Our God goes out before us. Fear not. I will do all that you have requested of me. Ruth found favor from Boaz, the Redeemer. And look at Ruth 3. Where was it found? Where did she find it? Verses 7 and 8. 7b and 8a. And she came softly and covered his feet and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. Lying at his feet. This is where we are not to fear. When we are lying at his feet, at the Redeemer's feet, at the feet, at the foot of the cross. As Mary sat at his feet, this is where fear is abolished, lying at his feet. This is where we find favor. At the foot of the cross, we find favor in Christ. We find rest in Christ. We find that our fear is relieved in our glorious Boaz, Jesus Christ. Today, are you fearful? Are you fearful today? Find rest. Find peace. Find security at the foot of the cross. those finding favor, simply make your request known to God. Simply make your request known to God as Ruth did. Ruth was fearful after the death of her husband. Here's Ruth, she's a widow. With Boaz, she has the opportunity to experience the joy of a new marriage relationship with someone who can love her, someone that can provide for her, and someone that can comfort her. We are to go to the glorious Boaz. You, do you need to be loved? Do you need to be provided for? Do you need to be comforted? All of those who come to Christ by faith that simply ask Christ to save them. He provides for them. He will come into a new relationship with you. It tells us in the book of Romans, look to Romans 7, for the child of God. Ruth married Boaz, but we have a far greater marriage that has taken place. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to have a husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulterer, no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, so that for this reason that you may be married to another. You have entered into a new relationship. You have entered into a relationship with our glorious Boaz, Jesus Christ. You had at one time been underneath the law. The law condemned you and convicted you. Now you have died to the law and you have come to Jesus Christ. And you have become married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Ruth came to an earthly Boaz. Child of God, you have come to the glorious Boaz. You have been married to Christ. Christ would say to you, fear not. Why do you fear man? Why do you fear the unknown? Why do you fear hell? Why do you fear what's on the horizon? Why do you fear pain? Why do you fear loss? The glorious Boaz says, fear not. For I will do all that you request of me. Is prayer important? I will do all that you request of me. Do you request love? Your Redeemer says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Do you need provision? Simply ask. Do you need comfort? Simply ask. What is it that you need? You have a new marriage, you have a new life, and you are a new creature. The glorious Boaz says, fear not. I will do all that you request of me. Fear not. You now have hope. Ruth was a widow. As a widow, her life was going to be nothing more than endless days of suffering, poverty, loneliness, and defeat. That is the condition of the world. That is the world apart from Christ. Endless days of suffering, poverty, loneliness, and defeat. But Ruth comes to Boaz. Comes to Boaz to redeem her. We have come to Christ to redeem us from suffering and poverty. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about material poverty. I'm talking about spiritual poverty. Material poverty may be there or may not be there. That's neither here nor there. He delivers you from loneliness. You that was lonely, now you have a new marriage. You have Jesus Christ, our glorious Boaz. You have entered into a new relationship. You have hope now. And he says to you, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear is dreadful. Terrible thing. The world lives their whole lives in fear. Continually in fear. Christ says, fear not. He says, saints, you have a new future. Fear not. He says, life has meaning now. Life has meaning now. He says, fear not, for we have all spiritual blessings. Turn to Ephesians 1. Fear not. You have all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 verse 3 tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Not going to. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Fear not. Fear not. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Fear not. Fear not, child of God. For how glorious Boaz says to us, fear not, I have given you eternal life. I have given you an eternal salvation. Fear not. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Brothers and sisters, what are you fearful of in your destiny? He says, fear not, for you have eternal life. He tells us in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Fear not. You have everlasting life. What are you fearful of? Fear not. Everlasting life. He tells us in John 4:14, fear not. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Fear not. Our glorious Boaz has given us eternal life. John 5:24 tells us also, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Has everlasting life. Not going to get everlasting life. Has everlasting life already. The thing that will last for all eternity has been put inside of this corruptible body already, in this body of death. You have eternal life now. He says, fear not. Fear not. What are you fearful of? I have given you eternal life. There's nothing to fear. Fear not. He who believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but what has passed. Not going to. He has passed from death into life. Fear not. You have eternal life. You have passed from death into life. You have that already. Ruth loves this earthly Boaz. How much more should we love the glorious Boaz, Jesus Christ? He has given us eternal life. Fear not. Those who are in Christ, you have no need to fear hell. He says, fear not, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Fear not, the glorious Boaz has done the work. All spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Eternal salvation is found in Christ. A close relationship with the Father in heaven we now have. Turn to Ephesians 2, verse 13 through 17. Fear not, but now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments, contained in the ordinances. Remember I told you before in Romans, you have a new relationship? So as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting away, putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and those who were near. Do not fear. You have peace with God. Peace with Almighty God. You who was his enemy has now, peace has been made with God. He says, do not fear. Peace has been made with the Father, the one who you was under the wrath of. Fear not. What is it that you request? Do you request absolute security? In knowing your salvation, John 10 tells us about that. John 10, verses 28 and 29. Do you fear that? 10, 28 and 29. And I give them eternal life. How long is eternal life? And I give them eternal life. Fear not, you have eternal life. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Does that mean until you sin? That means you shall never perish. Fear not. Because you are going to sin. We sin every day. Fear not. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. He's greater than your sin. He's greater than your rebellion. He's greater than your quote-unquote walk that you keep slipping and sliding all about. He says, fear not, what is it that you request of me? Do you request holiness? I'll give you that. What is it that you request? Fear not. I will do all that you request. All spiritual blessings in our glorious Boaz. Fear not. Eternal salvation in Christ. Fear not. A close relationship with the Father. Fear not. Absolute security in Christ. Fear not. Christ is always present with us. Fear not. Turn to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Fear not. 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. What are you all wrapped up in coveting what other people got? Be content with such things as you have. If you don't have something, just ask our glorious Boaz. He said, whatsoever things you request of me, I will do for you. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Fear not. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Fear not. I will do all that you will request of me. Also, look at Romans 8, verse 34. There's nothing to fear, brothers and sisters. Romans 8, 34. Who is he who condemns? Are you fearful of condemnation? If you're in Christ, you're not to be fearful of condemnation. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of the God of God, who also makes intercession for us. Fear not. Christ is making intercession for us. Christ is making intercession continually with the Father. You will survive. You will make it. You will not be forsaken. You will have eternal life. You have eternal life. God will meet all your needs, all your provision, all your comfort. Fear not. It's over 300 times in the Scripture, some way, shape, or form. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Over and over and over and over and over, because the Lord knows that fear will absolutely cripple you. You will be worthless in the kingdom. But fear not. You're hearing the message today. Fear not. We have a high priest, an ever-present Lord, absolute security, a close relationship with the Father, eternal salvation, all spiritual blessings. Fear not. What are you fearful of? She was fearful, Ruth, that she would never have happiness. Her husband died. She was a widow in an agrarian culture. Never thought she was going to have happiness again. Ruth would never be fulfilled, never be happy in her current condition. She needed love. She needed security. And it could only be from someone as Boaz. And it's the same with us, brothers and sisters. You will not find happiness. You will not find love. You will not find security apart from our glorious Boaz, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:8 tells us, you're miserable, brothers and sisters, because you're running from the very one that says he'll finish the good work that he started. 1 Peter 1:8, whom, having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Those that have come to the glorious Boaz are to have joy inexpressible. They have joy inexpressible because they know the words of the Redeemer, "Fear not, for I will give you all that you request of me." Once again, that is why it is so important to pray. I will do all that you request of me. If Ruth did not come down to the field and uncover his feet and lay next to his feet and ask him, she's going to ask him something. She's going to ask the Redeemer to bless her, to take care of her. Look at Ruth 3, verse 9. She uncovers his feet. She lays down. He's startled. He turns to her, and there's a woman lying at his feet. Ruth 3, verse 9 tells us, "And he said, 'Who are you?' And he said to you, 'Who are you?' Put your name in the blank. 'Who are you?' So she answered, 'I am Ruth, your maidservant.'" Notice again, your maidservant. When I was praying in earlier about humility, Ruth was humble. She wasn't proud and pompous and lifted up. She was humble. She was a maidservant. "I am Ruth, your maidservant." Notice. Fear, having no fear, and him answering your prayers and requests is because of one reason. "Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative or a redeemer." To go out. Simply ask. "Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Kind of like, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Cover me. Mercy, be mercy seated to me. Make atonement for me. Cover me. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." Ruth says to the Redeemer, "Take me under your wing, for you are the Redeemer." We have come to Christ as humble maidservants, confessing we are nothing, we can do nothing. We're coming empty-handed, lying at the foot of the cross, humbly before the cross, saying to our glorious Boaz, "Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. You are the Redeemer. You are the Goel." It's the same words that was used in Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Under whose wings? Kanof, under the wings, the overspreading wings of the bird. Or some of your translations says, "Spread your garment over me." That's what I read to you in Genesis with Abraham. When he says, "I'm your more gain, I'm your shield, I'm the hand that covers you, I'm the wing that covers you, I'm the eagle that covers the little eaglet. I am the one." You have come to the right one, Ruth. Child of God, you have come to the right one, Jesus Christ. He is the one who puts his wing over us. And because of his wing over us, we know that we are to not fear. We know there's no reason to fear that our requests are to be made known to him. Why? Because we have come to him for salvation. We have come to him as the Redeemer, as Ruth came to the Redeemer. The Redeemer would meet all of her needs. The same with us. The same with us. This concept of the wings spread over the children of God goes way back. Turn to Exodus 19. We see the Father saying this to the Jewish people. Exodus 19, verse 4. "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." That's what the Redeemer has done to us. He has brought us to himself. Fear not. He has borne you up on wings of eagles, as the Father did with the Jewish people. Turn to Deuteronomy 32. 32, verses 9 to 11. For the Lord's portion is His people. The Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the place of His inheritance. We are the Lord's inheritance. He found Him in a desert land, in a wasteland. Does this sound like you? He found you in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. Was this world howling at you? He found you in a howling wilderness. He encircled Him. That's this concept of with Genesis 15 with Abraham. He encircled Him, ordained. He instructed Him. He kept Him as the apple of His eye. Verse 11, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young. Remember in the beginning with the Spirit hovering over the earth. Spreading out its wings, taking them up. See? Spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. This is the way God speaks of His people. Child of God, what are you afraid of? Ezekiel, we have a beautiful picture of the Father, Ezekiel 16, verse 1 through 14. Tell me how beautiful is this. And the Lord is under no obligation to do this. It's simply His grace. Ezekiel 16. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know abominations. Right? The Lord's going to tell you about your wickedness. And say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut. Nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. Basically, you were found on a doorstep. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you. Notice, no eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself was loathed. You yourself were loathed on the day you were born. And when I, this is God speaking, passed you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live! Yes, I said to you in your blood, live! You who were dead in your sins and trespasses, God came to you and made you alive. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. I made you thrive like a plant in the field. And you grew, matured, you became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew. But you were naked and bare. When I passed you by again and looked upon you, indeed, your time was the time of love. Notice, same thing as in Ruth. So I spread my wing over you. Same thing as the atonement. I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness, just as He did to Adam and Eve. He came, shed the blood, the skin, came, covered them, covered their nakedness. Yes, I swore by an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine. Fear not. You became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth, gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen, covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrist and a chain on your neck, and I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and a port and an embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Your famine went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor which I bestowed on you, says the Lord God. Fear not. What do you want to add to that? What are you fearful of? What are you complaining about? But maybe it's true, unfortunately, what the next verse says. But you trusted in your own beauty. You was proud, you were lifted up, but you trusted in your own beauty, played the harlot because of your fame, and poured out your harlotry on everyone passing by you who would have it. What would you think of the book of Ruth if Ruth marries Boaz, and Boaz does all of this to her, and then she turns around and acts like Gomer in Hosea? What would you say? What would you say about Ruth today? And the question is, how many of us, God Almighty, has done that? All of those beautiful things that I just read to you, God has done more than that, because that's physical blessings. In Ezekiel, talking, I read to you previous to that the spiritual blessings. Every spiritual blessing, eternal life, everything our glorious Boaz has given us. But it's not enough. Unfortunately, it is not enough. The psalmist knew about being under the wing. But unfortunately, like David, like the psalmist, most of us have to return back to that howling wind, back to the wilderness, back to the blood out in this world. And the psalmist over and over writes of the security, the knowledge of being under that wing, even through all his wickedness. But he had to deal with all that pain. It wasn't enough. Like Ruth, when she came to Boaz, she had enough of this world. She had enough of Moab. She had enough of the Moabites. She had enough of Dagon. She had enough of pagan worship. She had enough of being an idolater. And when she met the Redeemer, when she met Boaz, she said, I'm going to be blessed, and that's it now. But unfortunately, many of us are like Gomer. Hosea comes, blesses her, and no sooner does he bless her than she's back out playing the harlot. David, in 17:8, Psalm 17, verse 8 says, Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. He knew the comfort of being there. He knew, as we read in 1 Samuel during the reading, even though Saul was looking for him, wanted to kill him, the one under whose wing he was protected said, you're going to go this far and no further. That's what God Almighty does in your life. Satan, you can go this far and no further. Psalm 36, verse 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. If you remember, loving kindness is the word chesed. God's covenant loyalty, his grace, his mercy, his chesed. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Notice it doesn't say they put their trust in horses and chariots. That's when you get yourself jammed up. You put your trust in the horses and the chariots as opposed to put their trust under the shadow of your wings. As I read Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles, the Lord said, behold, the battle is the Lord's. I'll fight the battle. You stand there and you watch. You watch what I'm going to do for you. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. This is simply the words of what Ruth is saying to Boaz. Take me under your wings. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. That's what Ruth said to Boaz. Take me under your wing. Psalm 61, and I'm just giving you a sampling of the psalms. Psalm 61:4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Salah. Think about that. Meditate on that. Chew that up. Fear not. I will do all that you have requested. We have seen Boaz as the redeemer for Ruth. We have seen the Father as the redeemer for the children of Israel. And we heard of Jesus Christ speaking of the same covering too. But unfortunately, the majority of the people did not heed it. Matthew 23, verse 37, same concept. Seeing Ruth and Boaz, take me under your wings, the Father, under the wings, under the shadow of his wings, and Christ rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew 23:37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. That is the same concept of Ruth and Boaz, of the children of Israel and God the Father. And Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees because they were not willing. And the question is today, are you willing? Are you willing to come to Christ today for salvation? The salvation is found nowhere else. He is the Redeemer for the human race. There is no salvation in any other man, any other name given amongst men. As Ruth came to Boaz, as the children of God came to Yahweh, you today, Jew, Gentile, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Catholic, Protestant, I don't care what title you got, there's one Redeemer only, and that's Jesus Christ. And He will have mercy on all of those that come and ask Him. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. But that's the problem. We don't see ourselves as a sinner. And we don't see ourselves as a sinner after we come to our glorious Boaz. That's the problem. We're not pleased with His blessings. And we don't believe His blessings. Ruth was reassured by the promises of the Redeemer. His promise to her is that He will do whatever is necessary to see that she is redeemed. Do we believe that? Do we believe that our glorious Boaz will do whatever is necessary to redeem us? Do we believe that? And notice that He promises to do all. Boaz tells Ruth, I will do all that needs to be done. What are you going to add to the precious blood of Jesus Christ? He has done it all to redeem it. So it is with Christ. He's done all that is required to make redemption a reality to everyone who calls upon Him in faith. Christ has paid the price of redemption. Turn to 1 Peter 1:18-19. This is the reason why He can redeem us. This is why we can say to Christ, take us under your wings. For you are the Redeemer because of 1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing. Do you know that? Knowing. Get it in your head. Knowing that you were not redeemed. Not something in the future. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Rosaries and crucifixes and your good works and whatever other thing that is corruptible. You wasn't redeemed with those things. Like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. The nonsense that your parents taught you as to salvation. Whose parents never told you that the wages of sin is death. And that the gift of God is eternal life from Christ Jesus. If your parents didn't tell you that, they didn't tell you the truth. Not because they hated you, but because they didn't know the truth themselves. But the truth is you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, nor the traditions that you got from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Boaz was able to give a physical redemption. He didn't even have to shed his blood. Christ had to shed his blood to be our Redeemer. Fear not. All that you request of Christ, He will do. Ruth is reassured by the promises. Child of God, you have to be reassured by the promises that are contained in this Bible. You have to be reassured. Ruth is reassured by the provisions that Boaz made to her. We are to be reassured by the provisions that Jesus Christ has given us and continues to give us day by day. That is the reason why He sent the Comforter, why He sent the promise to us. We would be reassured by His promises. We'd be reassured by provisions. He's taking care of you day by day, has He not? Have you not found Matthew 6 to be true, child of God, in your own life? This is the provision Christ says that He'll make for you. Matthew 6, read it on your own, 25 to 33. I'll just give you something short from it due to time constraints. Read Matthew 6 on your own. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You're reassured by the promises in the Bible. You're reassured by the provision that God Almighty has made for you. Back in Ruth, you see the way He sent her home? Look at the end of the chapter, Ruth 3. After the Lord says, I'll do all for you. Fear not, I'll do all for you. I'll perform the duty for you. After that, in verse 15, chapter 3. Bring the shawl that's on you, hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. The Lord has laid it on you. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? No, well, I'm just struggling to get by, brother. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Is that person that I used to remember? Is that you, my daughter? Then she told all that the man had done for her. Child of God, all the provisions that God Almighty has given you, you have to be as Ruth. She got some stinking grain. And she's like, wow, this guy, he did this, and he did this, and he said he's going to do this, and we're like, oh, we're just getting along, waiting for the glory train to come. Pick me up, get me out of this cruel, wicked world. It's like, here she is with some grain. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley, he gave me. Christ gave this to me. He gave me eternal life. He gave me every spiritual blessing. He gave me eternal life. He gave me his Father for an inheritance. He brought me into His family. I'm going to tell you what He did for me. That's what a herald does. He proclaims the good news. He goes to the people. The herald tells of what the Redeemer has done. These 6 ephahs of barley He gave me, for He said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. I didn't come empty-handed to you. I'm not coming empty-handed. I'm coming to you with the promises of God, the provisions of God, with the Redeemer, with the blessings from heaven. This is how we're to go out into the world. But it's like, ho-hum, another sermon. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. Do you know how the matter turned out? You know the gospel story. Sit still, my daughter, until... No, Don't sit there for the rest of your life. Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man, this Redeemer that you asked, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. I will remind you of an old rugged cross where that matter was settled, where that Redeemer said, Tetelestai, it is finished. Fear not. Fear not, for I will do all that you requested of me. Glorious Boaz, Bill Pass comes before you, and I simply ask you to take me under your wing. And that is it. And he blesses you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. What is the reason why that is not enough for you? I will close with the words of Christ in the book of Revelation. Fear not, I will do all that you have requested of me. Fear not. He reminds the church in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1, verses 12 to 18 in closing. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of God, is our glorious Boaz, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Not exactly like the Redeemer you see in the book of Ruth. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet. Notice the feet again. I fell at his feet as dead. Is that true of you? Or do you come with clenched fists and a clenched heart and clenched lips? I fell at his feet as dead. See, that's a maidservant. That's a bondservant. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. Fear not. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am him. I am he who lives. You serve a living Redeemer. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, behold, I am alive forever. I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. That's why he can say, fear not, for I will do all that you have requested of me. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a glorious Redeemer. We thank you for such a glorious Boaz. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you've given us the book of Ruth, that, Father, we can see a beautiful picture of the love that Christ has for his church. A beautiful picture of the way the church should respond. As I mentioned last time, Lord, that we would work the evening and beat out the grain. The way that the church responds to such a glorious Redeemer. And Father, thank you that you sent Christ. You sent Christ to be the covering for us. You sent Christ to be the atonement for our sins. You sent Christ to shed his blood in order to cover the mercy seat. For the law was screaming from the mercy seat, from the ark, The law was crying out, condemned, sinner, condemned, condemned, condemned. But the Redeemer came and shed His blood and applied that blood to His people.